Hello, I'm Kate, and I'm going to read A Benson Diary, written as ever by John Murphy. And as ever, it starts with a poem. This one's quite long. It's by Nazim Hikmet, translated by Sait Halam. Today is Sunday. For the first time, they took me out into the sun today, and for the first time in my life, I was aghast that the sky is so far away, and so blue, and so vast. I stood there without emotion. Then I sat on the ground with respectful devotion, leaning against the white wall. Who cares about the waves with which I yearn to roll, or about strife or freedom, or my wife right now? The soil, the sun, and me. I feel joyful, and how? When I last wrote, we were on the edge of Holy Week and Easter. I'm always a bit nervous on these days, as the liturgies of the 7 days are extremely demanding. They went exceptionally well this year. St. Barinus, with its music and range of liturgies, is like a cathedral in miniature. It's a gem in our midst that often goes unnoticed. On Easter Monday, before I left home for Birmingham Airport, news came of the death of Pope Francis. So, as I took my flight to Turkey, where I'd not been for over 12 years, there was plenty of media chatter to occupy my mind. By the way, I was rather impressed by the facilities at Birmingham and might think of using it again. I was staying near Oludeniz, Turkey, a popular destination for tandem paragliding, especially from Mount Babadag and famously set nearby a wondrous blue lagoon. I made it to the beach once. The authorities there are currently excavating the ruins of a Byzantine church dedicated to St. Demetrius. It's one of any number of new projects unearthing Turkey's ancient past. From our vantage point on the beachfront, while sipping at martinis, we were able to watch paragliders, like so many planes at Heathrow Airport, coming into land. Some touchdowns were balletic in control and others wayward, as like ungainly flamingos. It was its own astonishing sight. By sunset, bathed in red, pink, peach and orange glory, we were having dinner overlooking the peaceful lagoon, surrounded by rocky outcrops, behind which the sun gradually sank, and darkness covered the earth. It was truly beautiful. I also managed a trip into Fethiye, where I bought saffron in the spice market. I'm no good at bargaining in these bazaars, but at least I got my saffron. However, I cannot pretend the weather was the best, most often cool, and quite a few days of mountain mists and hard rain. Turkey, like our world here, has been much changed by the last 15 years. It's no longer a cheap place to holiday or an easy place to live. Lots of expats have packed up their old kit bags and sailed away. Poorer, everyone seemed to have chickens or goats or sheep in their small gardens. Many of the busy tourist cafes were as deserted. Life has become a struggle for everyone. I came home in the heat wave, and how suddenly everything around the village had changed. Lilac is grand and in heady profusion. The hedgerows lit by white hawthorn blossom, like so many fluorescent lights and buttercups, dandelions and daisies in abundance. And above all, trees and shrubs in glorious green leaf. Bluebells are still in their seasonal abundance, but their amethyst hazes half hidden by wild grasses growing at a wilder pace. The woods above Swinkham are just perfect now, a demi-Eden for doggies and a virtual paradise for us as well. Plenty of bold red rhododendrons in full flower as a counterpoint to the blue and yellow areas of wildflowers. Such a grand, uninterrupted view over the Thames Valley into the distance of Wittenham Clumps and the concrete chimneys of Didcot. And the tall beeches and conifers lined that avenue, man-made for the shoot, where the bluebells have bravely left their woodland shade to bask in direct sunlight. A few years back, I seem to recall a wedding taking place there on one sunny summer's day. We have had elections in the village, and I was home for the results, which saw Gavin McLaughlin, who is one of our parish council, duly elected as member for Benson and Cromarsh on the county council. Although my understanding is we will probably be called back to the polls next year when the new unitary Ridgeway Authority replaces SODC and the County Council. My reservations remain about this administrative incarnation, but I'm a lone voice crying in the wilderness. I should also mention going up to London with friends to see an early run of Christopher Swan's new play, Swing, Swing, Admiral Byng, at the Playground Theatre in Latimer Road. It completes his trilogy on the services. This play turns on Byng's last hours before his execution over the loss of Minorca. The flowering of an unexpected friendship between Byng and his Valley Hutchins during the Admiral's final hours enables us to explore those unoccupied positions between duty and justice and eternity, and eternal salvation that death alone conquers. Oddly enough, for a quarter of a century, I worked in a legal practice in Bloomsbury Square, which had been home to Admiral Rowley, who was senior naval lord in that first ministry of the Duke of Newcastle, around which much of the play's action turned. Popes make history too in their own ways, and the election of the first American-born pope as Leo XIV certainly caught the all-knowing and all-seeing and all-speaking commentariat of their collective guard. Is there anything sweeter than watching these highly paid celebrity communicators struggle to find anything to say that a quick Google search would not have delivered more cheaply and succinctly? It seems these days there's never an occasion that doesn't require a camera team standing outside a place where something important is happening inside about which they will know no more than you or me. The new Pope's namesake, Leo XIII, was a poet in his youth. He wrote mainly heroic couplets in Latin. This one was dedicated to the martyr St. Constantius of Perugia. It seems apt. May he, Leo, behold, when the storms are laid, as a victor, at length the longed-for shore and the wandering bark, safe anchorage made. May it too be brought through the tempest's roar to a God-calmed port of rest. That's by Leo XIII.